Operator, this is an emergency. What's the number for 911?
Wherever you are, to Alfsplaining with me, Ben Baker.
And me, John Matthews.
And I'll be honest with you, I'm still wishing we'd gone with Mel Mack and me.
We might have to change the title for season two.
Yeah, and you know what, I'll just save it for my autobiography.
All right, fair enough. Yeah. Don't forget there'll be the live podcast stage show as well. So
we've got
to keep some names for that.
Yeah, that's true. I'm going to say, like, in your autobiography when it comes out, how much of it do you think percentage-wise will be Alf-based?
I am suspecting it'll be kind of like Lord Sir Alan Sugar's biography, where most of it was just him complaining he didn't have a BAFTA. And this thread ran throughout Lord Sir Alan Sugar's biography until the closing chapters, where he made his own BAFTA.
What out of?
He nicked somebody else's BAFTA, made a mould of it, and made his own. He was so annoyed he hadn't been given a BAFTA.
I mean, I've not been given a BAFTA, but I barely bring it up once a day, max.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
So this is not a podcast about Alan Sugar's distaste in award-based giving, sadly. But it is instead an episode-by-episode saunter through the sitcom Alf, episode-by-episode, from, I guess, a British perspective.
And it is a saunter as well, isn't it? It's not a jaunt, it's definitely a saunter.
It is. And when we say from a British perspective, is that an acute angle?
I am. I'm certainly cute.
I just went to Satan Greavesy mode there, sorry. Yeah. We're not doing a Satan Greavesy podcast next, before you ask.
Any day now.
We've got so much Alf to get to. In fact, we're only up to episode two.
It seems like we've been doing it for years, doesn't it?
This recording or the general?
No, the podcast in general. You know, we've been
both, yes.
It's like we've settled into a groove and we're only up to episode two, so.
Is that what Into the Groove is about?
I think it is.
Well, I mean, I imagine Madonna watching Alf. I imagine she was a fan.
It would seem to appeal, wouldn't it? Yeah.
She, instead of MC Scat Cat for Paula Abdul, Alf and Madonna could have had that. But, you know, the animated Alf.
If only she'd been less successful, this could have happened.
Not successful enough for Alf.
Like a virgin, touched for the very first time, like a virgin.
Today we're going to be talking about Strangers in the Night, which is episode 2 of series 1 of Alf. It aired in America on September 29th, 1986. It was directed by the not at all amusingly named Peter Boners.
Hey!
And was written by Paul Fusco, Alf himself, and Thad Mumford.
Crazy name, crazy guy.
Well, I looked in, I'm like, I need to know more about Thad Mumford, clearly.
Yeah.
Thaddeus Quentin Mumford Jr.
You'd put the Q in. If you were called Thad Quentin Mumford, you'd be calling yourself Thad Q Mumford, wouldn't you?
It's not an affectation of nothing, but he had it for actuals. So yeah, I do feel that was a missed opportunity. But apparently he worked on lots of things. MASH, Cosby, Different World, Maud, NYPD Blue. And he created a program which I remember seeing on video, The Duck Factory, which had Jim Carrey in it very young. And they brought it out as a video after he became famous over it. I'm like, why is this some random sitcom with Jim Carrey in it?
Was that a series or a film?
That was a series, yeah.
Well, I'd never heard of that.
It's about an animator, yeah. And he won a Primetime Emmy for his writing on The Electric Company, which was kind of a sidebar to Sesame Street.
Yeah.
Emmy, and they made a Sesame Street character named after him called Dr. Thad.
Good Lord.
Of Dr. Thad and the Medications, who sang the Ten Commandments of Health, apparently, and even performed the voice of the character himself.
Well, I never did. What a claim to fame that would be.
Commandments of hell. Hell, sweet hell. It's worth more than fame or wealth to me. one thing I say a lot. Take care of the life you've got. It's such a precious commodity.
13.8 million people watched this, apparently. It was 21st most watched of the week. And I feel that's going to grow.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a respectable viewing figure, but not. I mean, 21st for a brand new show. It's not great, is it?
I don't know. It's the 80s, a strong era. Once again, like Cosby would have been at the top. Anyway, but you know what I mean? It's like it was a strong era for sitcom. And, you know, Alf was there.
Yes, all the sitcom classics, and there was also Alf as well. No, Alf. It's good.
Yeah, which we like Alf, and we wouldn't be doing this, but yeah.
Yeah.
So, no cold open here.
Oh, yes.
Straight into the magic, straight into the theme.
In fact, yeah, I actually wrote that down. I said no cold open on my notes here.
Now, last week, we had a bit of a debate on the quality of the Alf theme tune. And I think you've come round to it a bit, haven't you?
Well, I have. I don't know if people have noticed that the theme we are using for this podcast is not the actual original Alf theme, but a knockoff cover version I put together myself. And in the process of putting it together, I obviously learned how to play it. And you know what? I quite enjoyed learning how to play it. And it's quite a fun tune once you get used to it. It's got some very nice chords in it.
I've got some very nice chords, etc. No, I don't. Actually, I don't own any chords. It's not the 90s. Oh, once upon a time. And speaking of once upon a time, opening narration.
Yes, for some reason. That's a bit mysterious. Episode 2, and they're changing the format already. Everything's breaking out.
No. Because episode 1 had a narration from Willy the night he came. So I suppose after it, the break.
Yeah, that's a very good point, actually. Your viewers at this point would be thinking every episode had a narration. You're right.
You would assume, yeah. You would assume. Although it's Alf this time, not Willie.
Thursday, 6:30 p.m. It started out like any other night. Meatloaf. The third time that week. But I digress. Here's what happened.
Now, this indicates that a lot of time has passed since Alf's arrival.
It does seem that way. He's very much got his feet under the table, both figuratively and literally.
I kind of wondered if this was an episode from later in the run that they brought forwards.
You think?
But I don't know.
They do that, don't they? Yeah. They do that with stronger episodes.
It seems nowadays, if this was made nowadays, there'd be at least a couple more episodes where Alf bedded himself in, you know, to get the story arc going. But, you know, they're a bit more carefree back in the 80s. So, you know, as long as the jokes are happening, who cares?
But that's it. It feels like he knows Hitchcock. That's coming up in a bit.
Yes,
you know, he's very annoying. At this point, he needs to be very annoying, so he can't be trusted, really. Because this is an episode all about Alf wanting to look after Brian when everyone has to go out, and they refuse, so they get Mrs. Ogwenek, please call her Raquel, from next door, and the chaos ensues.
That line got a laugh for some reason, please call me Raquel. I'm not quite sure why.
I think it's because Raquel Wells, sexy name, and she's obviously quite a dowdy woman.
Fair enough.
I think it's like, can you imagine her being called Raquel?
Well, no, I didn't think this podcast would degenerate into you having to explain the jokes to me this soon.
You know what? I feel it's basically for later on in life when everything's going to be explained to us on a daily basis, like who we are and things, but we'll remember all this shit about. So what toy is Brian playing with at the start?
Oh, what was it called? I didn't write it down. It's not an official Transformer anyway.
It's not, although it is obviously a Transformer. And he's like, I'm not sure which. There are people who will be able to tell us, but he's called Missile Man.
Missile Man, that was it. I knew it began with M.
And, I mean, we always have most impenetrable pop culture reference of the week. It's not quite enough for me, that one. You know, because Transformers has never been really allowed to die.
No, exactly. And I think if we're having an impenetrable pop culture reference of the week, it has to be a real Transformer rather than one they've just made up.
I mean, it's not like they were short of a few options and B, some ridiculous names.
Oh,
But yeah, this is, so it's a simple premise. Basically, Mrs. Ogwenek is looking after Brian, who we don't see for the rest of the show.
No, exactly. That's another good thing about this episode, is that Brian says something irritating at the start.
Yes.
And then disappears for the episode, so which is fine as far as I'm concerned.
He did the thing that all great soap kids do. He went upstairs and never came back. You know? how it should be. Alf is trapped, is stuck in a room. Now it'd be fine. He'd have a phone to play with, you know, you could have telly on with headphones. But no, he's got to stay quiet in a room all night. Because Kate and Lynn are going to...
And this is explained to us with a lovely piece of exposition at the start, which is Kate saying, Lynn, we're going to be late for the shower. It's a beautiful line that just gets everything across in a really clunky manner.
It is. I think Russell T. Davies would cry if he heard that line. And they're looking for some ribbon, aren't they, for the present.
Oh, wait, here's that ribbon. But it's wet.
Forgot to tell you. You're out of floss.
Maybe there's a chance I can find some ribbon without meat on it.
Not in that drawer.
I might have some meatless ribbon in the garage.
So the sort of crux of this episode is based around Psycho.
Oh, yes.
Being on telly, which I suspect would have been quite a big deal back in 1986.
Was it really Psycho they were playing in the background? I'm not familiar enough with Psycho to really recognise it, or whether it was just a recreation they'd done.
I was wondering... Well, seeing as though it's raining, I'm all alone. I was wondering whether you'd like to come up to the house and have supper with me.
And it's got some sort of Bernard Herrmann-esque
stabby strings.
Thriller. Stabbing strings, yeah. But no, it's not the official. And I'm going to assume that it's not... Not actually. Well,
they put more effort in then than they perhaps should have done or needed to sort of recreate Psycho in the background, where they could have just had a mumbling telly in the background. This is a sign of the effort they were putting into making Alf back then, I think.
Yeah, well, obviously, big cinephiles.
Yes.
Alf, a couple of episodes time, we'll have probably have Alf's take on Jules et Jim. But... for now, we've just got Hitchcock. And Alf seems to know all about Hitchcock, even if he's not seen Psycho. I assume he hasn't seen it. He's very keen to see it. So he's creeping downstairs, trying to watch it behind Mrs. Ockmanek's back. Basically she's watching Psycho, which, of course, it fits because it's textbook scary.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Because So they say Thursday, 6:30, it started out like any other night.
Yeah.
Let's give the benefit of the doubt and say there's an hour between that and...
Mrs. Ockmanek arriving. Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know what Herb is still doing in the office, because this is why Alf wants to babysit, because everybody had to leave, and Willie, the father of the household, has had to go to the office because the computers were down and Herb couldn't access the files. Now, Willie, this gets a bit technical now, but Willie has to go in and load the backups.
He does indeed. And that is my top Willie moment of this episode.
Oh, is it? Oh, marvellous.
I think it might also be my most impenetrable pop culture reference of the week, too. Because the idea of having to go into the office with backups, you know, it'd like take 2 seconds now off your phone. You know, but it's
you know, that's a really good point. I hadn't visualised that as a pop culture reference, but you're right, isn't it? It makes no sense nowadays.
I mean, just in terms of, yeah, what we used to and that. And because he has to do it because the budget's tomorrow.
The budget, yeah.
You know, I mean, the budget.
If Herb is still at the office working on the budget, why has Willie come home in the first place? Surely he should still be there.
We do actually get to see the office.
And it's horrible. Oh, it's a horrible office.
The corner of a 1980s box office.
Oh, it's grim.
Where Willie's phoning home and his co-worker is given no lines.
No, he isn't.
Standard.
He's a man. I assume that's Herb. I mean, I assume Herb hasn't got his own office. But, you know, whoever was walking past the Alf set at that time is now in pop culture history as Herb from episode 2 of Alf.
Oh, you think they tell people still?
I would.
Yeah, I mean, it would be like marriage speech, first thing out, you know, all that sort of thing, you know. If I got knighted, I would tell the king. I said, "Do you know I was in?"
It was episode 2 of Alf. I didn't get any lines, but I was definitely that was mentioned by Nerm.
I'd done a face. and that was what is now known as a herb.
You've done a herb, have you? You've done a herb.
What's the equivalent of herb? Do you think like herbs are like a very sort of stereotypical American everyman kind of name. What's it over here, do you think, the equivalent?
Don, Ron, Roy at the office.
right in the office. You would be right in the office, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you'd already have that straight in your mind what that character was. So unfortunately, you know, Herb at the office does not become a her indoors style situation of unseen classic characters.
That would have been nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
they missed a couple of opportunities, I think, with this episode. One we'll come to in a second. But whilst we're talking about Raquel, and this was my observation that she was eating Jolly Time popcorn, which apparently is a real kind of popcorn. So there's a bit of product placement for you, and Alf either got paid for that or had to pay Jolly Time popcorn to use it.
So we've already established there were 13.8 million people watching. That's a lot of popcorn.
That's a lot of yeah. There's a lot big advert
popcorn
for popcorn.
Is listening.
Yes, Mum. Since we moved to the colonies, Mum's become a popcorn lover.
You need to be. Don't forget the butter.
New Jolly Time microwave popcorn has the real butter Mum swoons over. But I rather fancy the natural flavor. It's a crisp, tender, white popcorn. And it's jolly good. Oh, I say. Shouldn't they call it Jolly Good Time?
Try new Jolly Time microwave popcorn.
Will it be?
It's jolly good.
Why was it not an Alf brand popcorn?
There probably was, to be honest, wasn't there?
Yeah, there probably was, to be fair. Yeah, maybe we'll get to all that stuff at one point, but I'm not doing a Nashans and eating 35-year-old popcorn.
I'll do it. I'll eat 35-year-old Elf popcorn.
You'd do it anyway without recording it.
I'm doing it now.
I've been doing it for this entire episode. there's not just popcorn, there's pizza. Pizza is quite irrelevant.
Pizza, it seems like gold dust almost. Trevor, Mrs. Ockmonic's husband, next door, bolts right over when he hears the pizza. I mean, he could surely have ordered his own pizza if he was that desperate for one. They're not expensive.
Well, it's $20, I believe.
House account. Imagine that, having a house account for your pizza.
I know, that's just, I suppose by that point in American culture, it was more common, the ordering a pizza thing, sort of with the rise of Domino's and Little Caesars and all those rival companies. I think. Mm. Is it, which one is it? It said 30 minutes or you get it for free. Is that Domino's?
Could be.
Avoid the noid with the Domino's Pizza Guarantee. We guarantee your pizza will be delivered within 30 minutes or you get $3 off your order. Guaranteed. And we guarantee your pizza will taste great. If you're not satisfied with your pizza, we'll replace it or refund your money. Only our pizza is guaranteed to avoid the noise. Domino's Pizza delivers. Call now.
And I don't remember him being that common here in 1986, but I was a nipper, admittedly.
I recall going to Pizza Land in the town centre.
Was there anything there for the kiddies to do?
Not a great deal, no.
No,
nothing. No rides, no swings, no chutes to plummet down, no pasta ball pits or anything.
Not the council thinking.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can remember there being like local versions of pizza places, but you know, not the big names, you know, not your I think we got Pizza Hut first eventually.
Well, I wonder if it was the success of Alf that brought pizza over to Britain. It was certainly pre-Turtles, wasn't it?
Oh, that's a good point, yeah. So that was a problem, you see. Like, I've never really gone for many things in that sort of, like, I become obsessed with them, but Turtles was one of the things that was right time, right age, that sort of thing for me.
Mm.
So it hit big. And I didn't like cooked cheese for a long time. It made me feel sick, the smell of it.
Oh my God.
So I couldn't have pizza.
Good Lord.
Yeah, I know. And now, like, hook it to my veins. It's weird how you just things change in you.
You've got a more distinguished palate nowadays, and yet you're...
I think that's probably true. Maybe, again, Alf is an influence on this, because he does order a pizza and indeed loses that pizza.
Well, okay, there's a number of things about the pizza. The pizza place is called Pizza Barge, which I think is a lovely name for a pizza restaurant.
You know what? I am amazed. We've got a pizza ranch, which is not even vaguely cowboy. So that's a good one. Do you think it was on a? Do you think it had a thematic like building?
It bobbed up and down,
yeah,
or just very gradually drifted across the road.
Kept up with the drunks.
The second thing about this is that we get the name of the house, 167 Hemdale, the address of the Tanner residence, which I looked up. So this is, I've done some research, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
I've done some research. The actual house at 708 Merino Avenue in Brentwood sold in February 2012 for $2.05 million.
Oh, the touch of Alf.
So, you know, I mean,
the furry hand of God.
Whatever Willie is doing as a job-wise, that's a pretty nice house they've got.
Which is, I'm still not entirely sure at this point.
No. It's got a horrible office.
He's got his computers and... and
a budget.
Ties. He's got
computers and a budget.
And a budget, yeah.
And Herb.
Yeah. So, and Herbie, obviously.
Anyway, if you want to go to 708 Merino Avenue in Brentwood...
I do.
The house has been knocked down, I'm afraid, and some horrible new houses...
What?
There's some horrible new houses have been built in its place. Sadly...
Did Alf die for nothing?
Yes,
many times.
Yes, he did. He did die for nothing.
Yeah, he did. It's true.
Anyway, that is the end of the research segment, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I enjoyed it very much. Yeah. I'll be back. I could give you some research about a character which appears around this time of the episode as there's a burglar. After all, it's Mrs. Ockmanic thinks he's a burglar. There's a real burglar who comes in, and Alf pretends to be a toy, which you could probably get like a year later, like a giant talking Alf, probably. But this is John Hankin.
Oh, nice.
And
okay.
He is from literally everything.
Oh, really?
I suspect modern audiences are more known from Breaking Bad. He's done quite a few episodes of that. And he basically always plays a bum or someone shabby, so he fits into that. He's My Name is Earl. He's in
right,
that,
he's got that shambolic look about him, hasn't he?
Yes, yes. You'd be delighted to know he was in Shasta McNasty.
Okay.
And The Tony Danza Show. So...
well,
you know, and he played the chef in the video for Janet Jackson's "What Have You Done for Me Lately."
Good Lord!
I know and he's still working by the looks of it. So fair play. If you've got a look and you don't need to be a superstar, you can work. I'd say you can work pretty well.
Oh yeah, that's a pretty comfortable existence, isn't it? Yeah. It's like the supporting actor actress sort of. There's a type of supporting actor and actress where you look at the IMDb page and it goes on for everything, and every single entry has one episode written next to it.
This is very much John Hankins, yes. Yeah, absolutely. He's done the lot. And fair play to him, you know. And apparently Alf makes him insane.
Yes. I mean, he thinks he's a toy. He thinks Alf is a toy. And then he thinks Alf is a talking toy. And then Alf says something like, "I'm going to rip your throat out." And that's what tips him over the edge.
Which genuinely made me laugh a grin.
Yes.
It did. It was more violent than I was anticipating. And I was all in for it.
Must be one of them talking dolls.
Oh, yeah? Ever have a talking doll rip out your voice box?
But Alf has been in the Tanner's bedroom all night, and he's wearing a dress at this point, which he's found somewhere.
Bald.
Which is all it's a funny bit, and it's all a big build up to the end where a policeman, the burglar has actually sought out a policeman.
Yeah.
He's been so traumatized by seeing Alf, and the policeman has brought the burglar to the house, and he says he's seen a hideous creature with a big nose wearing a blue dress, and then who should walk through? But Mrs. Ockmanic wearing a blue dress. And there's the big punchline to the episode.
Yes and no, because then we get a sort of this tacked on sort of what happened next sequence.
Oh, yes. Now, it's a Dragnet parody.
Oh,
isn't it?
Is it?
And
is
that
it?
Is my right. Impenetrable pop culture reference of the week, with the fact that the whole episode is a Dragnet parody, hence Alf's narration at the start, and the police.
I only really know the film and just the facts, ma'am, so...
Well, the film was like a year after this. So,
yes, it was, wasn't
it?
Yeah.
At the time, it was probably a pretty impenetrable culture reference.
And we'll have another one of those in the next episode. That's what's called... say the thing and then people go, "Oh, well, listen to that thing in the future." Probably a better term for it than that, but, you know, I'm refusing to believe. There is. What do you think? Is it a good episode? I think it's a It's an Alf episode.
Yeah, there's not a lot of Willy in it, as it were, Mrs.
No.
Because my top Willy moment was just his delivery of...
Where are you now? What are you doing?
I'm in the bedroom wearing a blue dress.
Don't move from that spot.
Where would I go? I don't have the right shoes.
I'm coming home. I should have locked him in the garage. Kids.
And Herb gives him an askance look because he thinks he's talking about...
It's assumed Herb. Assumed Herb.
Assumed Herb.
I can't guarantee it was Herb, but one of his helpers.
And Herb gives him an askance look because he thinks he's talking about his son.
Yes, Ryan.
And that's the joke there. But it's a lovely delivery. The thing Max Wright does brilliantly is these exasperated deliveries of bizarre lines, and that was my favourite of them.
Yeah, he's great, and he was almost my MVP of this episode, which, as we know by now, is Mel Max, Very Perfection.
Yes.
Who was the best one in the episode? And last time, I don't think it was very shocking, but I went for Trevor Ochmanek, the rough, gruff neighbour. And I think I might be going for him again.
I think so. I've written down here, Mrs. O does a good turn.
Yeah.
But Trevor gets the laughs.
Yes.
Also, the pizza guy gets quite a lot from very, very little. Almost every line he says, and he has four lines.
Yeah.
Pizza barge. One super Sicilian. That's me. Here's your pizza. Sorry I couldn't leave it by a tree. It's against company policy.
I don't understand.
Well, you see, the last time we left one by a tree, a squirrel died.
No, I mean, I didn't order a pizza and I refused to pay for it.
Lady, it's already paid for. House account.
Oh, well, in that case.
What about my tip?
Is this enough?
Huh, sure. In some states, I can still make a phone call.
But Trevor gets the laughs, and I was watching this thinking, they missed a real opportunity not having Trevor and Alf meet, because they could be great pals.
Yeah.
Similar mindset, similar wisecracking buffoons, as it were. They could have a great time together.
Yeah, so if you've not seen the episode, just imagine that character from American sitcoms, that sort of slob. You know, he's Onslow from Keeping Up Appearances, vest and boxer shorts. You know, I mean, one of the points is he doesn't want to come back after he's left the house again because it means he has to put on pants.
Yes. Lovely line, beautifully delivered. And it's the sort of thing that Alf would have said as well.
Exactly. And the line that won it for me, basically, she thinks there's someone in the bedroom, so Trevor comes to check it out when he hears there's pizza.
Trevor, what took you so long?
The Dodge is batted around. Now, what's so important that I have to leave the game?
I think there's somebody else in this house. I heard a scream.
Don't wake me up when you come home.
It wasn't the TV. The scream I heard came from the back bedroom.
Maybe it was the cat.
No cat would scream like that.
Maybe it was in heat.
It sounded like a human scream, and it came from this room.
All right. I'm going in. If I don't come back, you can start dating.
I've already tried it. It's locked. Now it's open.
What are you narrating this?
Yeah. But a lot of his lines, Alf could say, technically. There's stuff, like when he went in and he's snooping around and he says, oh, and she goes, what? And he goes, oh, they've got a cushioned toilet seat. That's an Alf line that he could have delivered beautifully as well.
But I would have watched that a spin-off if for some reason Alf and Ochmanek had to move in next to each other. Alf would be the higher one as well, like in the Odd Couple situation. he'd be the slightly more dignified one.
They should have asked Trevor to come back for the film, because the Tanners aren't in the film that follows on the series.
No.
We'll get that in a few years.
Except Alf,
Nobody thinks it's Alf. But Trevor would have been great, the pair of them.
We could have called it Trevor's World of Alf. I would have watched. Which is my most impenetrable pop culture reference of the week. Well, we're not really rating these, are we? We don't have a rating system for these.
If we did have one, this is the first I've heard of it.
No, I sort of don't want to, because it means that I'm thinking constantly about the end result rather than enjoying the ride.
Yeah. It's a good episode. It seems a strange episode to be episode two. That was my general thinking about it whilst watching. It seems I would have been happy with this episode a few episodes later down the line.
I'm sure we'll get missives to say that it was indeed moved or something like that. But for now, it's episode two. And next up, guess what? It's only episode four. No. What you've done there is you've got confused.
Okay, dokie.
Yeah. No, what we're doing is episode three.
Oh, right. Excellent. Well, that makes more sense.
And it's all about the cat. Because that's right, three episodes in, time for an episode about the non-speaking cat.
And we know what Alf thinks about cats, don't we, listeners, eh?
That's him enjoying this enjoyment sound of cats. So, yeah, all to play for in next week's Alfsplaining. Until then, I have been Ben Baker.
And I am still John Matthews.
And we are Mel Mac and me, brackets, coming to the Edinburgh Fringe 2027.
Woo! On May 18th, Andrew Semenik was convicted in municipal court of breaking and entering with intent to commit burglary. He waived his rights to a jury trial in lieu of psychiatric help. Mrs. Raquel Achmanek wasn't as fortunate.
I know it.
She was sentenced to life with Trevor.